Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
What is an unalienable right? We know that the Declaration of Independence lists among the unalienable rights life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Does it include religious freedom? How does religious freedom interact with other basic human rights, and does it have pride of place along with other unalienable rights? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the importance of religious freedom for the next few minutes of the program. Joining us to do so, Emily Gao, attorney and director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Society at the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C., author of a recent column titled Why Religious Freedom is Special. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you.
What about a recent report from the U.S. State Department's Commission on Unalienable Human Rights has sparked some controversy?
Well, it really shouldn't have sparked controversy, because what they're saying is very much in line with what both parties have been saying for a long time. But the fact that they stated that, you know, religious freedom is one of the foremost rights in the American tradition and that it is an unalienable human right, that did spark a lot of controversy.
Why is religious liberty the foremost right?
Well, I think in the American tradition, it is one of the two foremost rights along with property rights. Partially because of, you know, the history of our country. The founders came here because they were fleeing religious persecution. They knew how important it was for this new country to have religious freedom and not have imposition of any orthodoxy. So that's why it was put into the very First Amendment to our Constitution. But I think also religious freedom is very important because it protects something that's really special, which is our right to seek the truth and to live according to our consciences. And it is that right that James Madison talked about, that we all have this conscience, and that is the most valuable property, and that the government cannot trespass against it. That is a very American belief, but I think it's also a belief that is shared by people all over the world.
Tell us about Pastor Wang Yi, Christina Feist, and Raif Badawa.
Well, I think those are three people around the world who valued the ability to seek the truth and to live according to their consciences from very, very different backgrounds. So Pastor Wang Yi is a house church pastor in China, and he, you know, loved Calvin, loved the Reformation, he loved serving his neighbors, and he felt that the government should not have any role in managing the church. So when the government of Xi Jinping came into power and they started issuing regulations that were very strict, requiring religious organizations to turn over information about their members and about their doctrines, he openly criticized that. And then as a result, he was sentenced to 9 years in jail. Christina Feist was a Jewish woman who was worshiping at her synagogue in Germany when a gunman tried to break in and to kill the members of the synagogue. Fortunately, he wasn't able to successfully do that. But that's just one example of the many, many attacks on synagogues and, unfortunately, the rising anti-Semitism that we see around the world. And then Raif Badawi, he was a Saudi Arabian blogger who blogged about women. He blogged about the role of women in society, about political liberalization, and he blogged about faith. And he said that Christians and Jews and Muslims should tolerate one another. And as a result of that, the Saudi Arabian government sentenced him to prison and to 1,000 public lashings. All three of them sought the same thing, which was to seek the truth and live according to their consciences.
What place does the Universal Declaration of Human Rights give religious freedom?
Well, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights protects freedom of religion or belief in Article 18. Everyone, everywhere, at all times, has the right to worship, both in community with others and by themselves, and to manifest their beliefs in society through, you know, actions and through teaching and preaching. So there is, you know, very strong protection of religious freedom in the Universal Declaration. And I would say there's something else very significant in the Universal Declaration, which is that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is based on the idea that we have human rights because of our innate human dignity. And one thing that the Declaration says in the first article is that we are all endowed with reason and conscience, and therefore we should seek to live in a spirit of brotherhood with one another. So it treats reason and conscience as the engine for us to respect one another's human rights. And I think throughout history, we've seen that that is true. A person's reason and their conscience, which often lead them to religious beliefs, that is often what motivates people to try and protect human rights. You can think of Mother Teresa, or Martin Luther King, or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or William Wilberforce. They were all people who were motivated by their religious beliefs to protect the human rights of others.
Some believe that religious diversity is the source of social conflict. How do you respond to that, Emily?
Well, that is a belief that is misguided, and it's been disproven by empirical evidence. So there is work by the Pew Research Center and by professors Brian Grimm. He wrote a book called The Price of Freedom Denied, which documented the status of religious freedom in every country in the world. And it showed that actually what leads to religious conflict is the suppression of religious freedom. So when a government does not, you know, protect all people equally, and it treats some religions better than others, that creates more social hostilities, and that's what actually leads to violence.
What is the difference between unalienable human rights and positive rights, and what's the proper relationship between those two?
So unalienable human rights are the rights that belong to us simply because of our human dignity. Those are rights that are not a gift from the government, but they're God-given rights that every person has, and they should be, you know, respected by all governments at all times, everywhere. Positive rights, on the other hand, are rights that are protected in some societies at certain times for some people because they are a product of that particular country's political process, the values of that country, and it's for the protection of the citizens of that country, but those protections may not extend to other people in other places or to other people even on the soil of that country. So I think what the commission's report said was that unalienable rights are really the standard by which all positive rights should be judged. So I think there's a problem going on in the human rights movement that people may or may not be aware of, which is that in the Universal Declaration, there were 30 rights that were enunciated as the unalienable human rights. But now we see at the UN and the EU, there is this incredible expansion of human rights to the point where there are over 1,500 enumerated human rights. And that's created a problem of inflation of human rights and a lack of credibility. So I think that's what Secretary Pompeo's commission on unalienable human rights was trying to address.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, why does the U.S. continue to seek to protect religious freedom at home and abroad? With about 30 seconds.
Americans value religious freedom not only in the United States, but overseas because of our own experience of the country being founded on religious persecution, but also because we know that protection of religious freedom leads to peace and stability. And so that's why it's been a cornerstone of American foreign policy under many different administrations.
Emily Gao is an attorney and director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Society at the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. She's author of a recent column titled Why Religious Freedom is Special. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites ready. We'll play them, and then we'll take your votes. Stay tuned.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with AdCruisen's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcruisem.com to take advantage of the sale. That's adcruisem.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.